government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour on this December the 22nd on the West Coast, now December the 23rd on the East Coast. I guess this is Christmas Eve Eve tonight. We would like to also welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, whether live or on a rebroadcast. And a special shout out to everyone in the U.S. military, especially my good buddy Drew Raines' friends, Andrew Raines, if he's listening. And also the folks listening on blogtalkradio.com. Lots going on today, but rather than me tell you what it is, I think we'll go straight to tonight's guest. He is a talk show host in his own right. Until a few months ago, he had his own talk show called Voices from the Heartland. He writes regularly for News with Views. He has his own website, theheartlandusa.com, and he came my way via a very good friend, the late Marianne Ponder. And actually, we've been working together on a number of shows in conjunction with the aforementioned Drew Raines, who is also a good friend of Marianne Ponder. My good friend, and hopefully yours, former Kansas State Trooper and doctorate in forensic criminology, my good friend, Dr. Greg Evenson. Greg, welcome to the show.
Don, I couldn't be happier to be with you tonight. Thanks so very much for that wonderful introduction. Always good to be with you.
Well, it's nice to have you back. We got to do a show a couple of weeks ago with Drew, and as usual, the lines were burning up, and people were were sending us messages. They love you out there. They love the work that you're doing. And, of course, our listeners do. I had plans to put you on my schedule anyway, and we came to sort of a synchronistic agreement that it was time for you to come back. So it's great having you back. And I know that you've got a message that you want to share with the listeners. Tell us a bit about what you've been doing lately, I think, to give us a starting point.
Sure, and thanks, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a real mission. The last several months I have been traveling across the United States speaking directly to the people, no longer on radio, not just writing. But we have a message that must be sent and hopefully is being heard. The situation has become so red hot in the United States, and so very, very difficult to understand, let alone deal with, that it just became necessary to follow through on what my wonderful wife Liz called the effort to educate as many people as possible. And so, Don, what happened? We were just scheduled almost immediately. I do basically about a 5 to 6 hour, depending on what time zone I'm in, to some degree. Stand-up, certainly not comedy, but it's a stand-up routine that talks about the very issues that we're going to talk about tonight and what to do, how to deal with these things, what to do, what not to do, when, where, how, and why to do, and sometimes not to do. It has been very well accepted, and on top of that, we created two DVD series, Castle Defense 1 and 2. This is the brainchild of Liz and her production efforts. And so we've made that also available as a tool for people to use and to get themselves prepared. The time has come, Don. I'm sorry to say that we have to look a little bit closer at what we need to do individually for our families and friends to prepare for whatever it is exactly that's coming, it will be difficult at best, and we want people as ready as they can to deal with it.
Well, I understand. Now, when you say the things that are coming, for those new listeners out there, for those maybe for those people that have been listening to this show for a while and have heard a potpourri of topics and maybe not listened long enough to hear some of the shows that you and I have done together, where we get in down in the nitty-gritty, down the rabbit hole, and talk about what is actually going on with the government and the secret mm-hmm. government, the military-industrial complex, the banks, and the corporate infrastructure that's basically reordering the general nature of humanity around the planet. So I'll leave it to you if you want to open that a little bit.
Well, you know, Don, I know exactly where we're going with this, and yet, at the same time, it is so overwhelming at times. Don't feel alone, folks. If there are days when you get up and you listen to various shows on radio and television, even, and your reading material is pointing you in a direction that just seems to be inescapable. You're trying to learn and you're trying to get all the facts you can as to why it seems that our great nation has stumbled so badly. It's not really the people in the United States that are the cause of this great debacle that's happening right before our eyes, but it is a result of I guess you could call it a plot if you would like. I certainly do. It's a conspiracy. There's no doubt about that, that for generations there have been those inside and outside of the United States who have been moving toward an ultimate destination that we all will have to deal with in our own way, and that we're seeing it piece by piece. It has been piecemeal over the last several months, but it's been accelerating, and that is what you're seeing is the ultimate end of a nation that was as free as any on the planet, and yet greed and the need to move the United States from a free nation where liberty was paramount and the American people were able to chart their own destiny to a nation dependent on the government and government representatives to pretty much determine for us where we're going. And we're seeing that today. The latest incarnation of that is this monstrous, out-of-control health care reform bill, along with many, many other pieces of legislation, Don, that frankly have turned us from a free republic to a socialist closed society, and we are sharing the end results of that, and I'm just sorry to say that because of that, we are seeing what we're seeing at this moment, and there's far more to come. And I just, I don't want to scare people. That's not why I'm saying this. I just want you ready. I want you to be able to deal with this so that Don and I can continue to talk to you and help you get through this instead of just hitting that wall head on with no place left to turn.
Yes, yes. Well said. I don't know if I could have said it better myself, so that's why I asked you to say it.
Oh, thanks, Don.
You know, the public's attention, Greg, has been focused on some rather meaningless issues. Some people might be offended by me saying that because they, you know, what has the public's attention been focused on? Well, if you look at the mainstream media, what is it? Tiger Woods' affairs with other women and his car crash. It's almost like that was a CIA plot, a psyops, just to make sure that all of this stuff came out and that it grew some wings and some legs, so the story would predominate CNN and headline news and all the other news shows. The discrediting of someone that has accomplished a major feat, almost to the point where, if you read between the lines, it looks like golf isn't going to be that important pretty soon. You know,
well,
it's like
you're absolutely right. That was perfect. And I know that the path that you've been on for many months, in fact years, the last few years since I've known you, has brought all of us through the just fantastic work that you do, putting all the pieces of this giant puzzle together, and even with your latest thrust, looking back at the history of President Dwight Eisenhower, there is just an again the term inescapable link to all that we're seeing. This is so historical, as well as hysterical at times, and you know, it depends on the day of the week whether or not you're looking at historical facts or other facts that bring us to the conclusion that this has just in fact been part of our very the very fiber, the very living nature of our country for several generations. And out of it, Don, comes the sad truth that this nation has been plundered, has been abused, has been used by those whose sole effort in life, it seems, is to make for a dynamic and yet very, very tragic conclusion to our nation. And I don't want this to be a conclusion. I want, if anything, the good news tonight, folks, is, and there is some good news, and that is that really, right now at this very instant, the ultimate outcome of all of this, and again, if I may, our destiny, is lied intricately involved and sewn together by who we are and where we are. This is not the end unless we allow it to be the end. This must be the beginning, the breakout of what has been a very sad, very catastrophic period of time in this country where industrial output has gone almost down to nothing. Our banking, of course, I don't need to tell you folks, is at the precipice. And we have all of this happening because we have not been in control. We've allowed people who have not had our interests at heart, but the interests of the Illuminati and the people, the Lucys, as they're called, the Luciferians, who are in our world, in our society, and who want us destroyed utterly and completely and to be a slave to the conquest of these people worldwide. And we just have to put our feet down firmly and say, no, this is not going any further. And however we resist that, it's time to organize. It's time to make sure that we're all working together. If you have a sacred cow, Don, and maybe I don't agree with it entirely, I don't know much that you and I don't agree on, but if we had that, it's time to leave that sacred cow in the barn and come together as Americans and just say, this cannot go on for the sake of our children, grandchildren, ourselves, our neighborhoods, our communities, our state, and our nation. We must get a grasp on this. And I think it's beginning to happen. Praise the good Lord that people are saying, no, I'm not going to let this go any further. And so they are waking up. I'm seeing that out there, Don. I think you've seen a little bit of it. And I'm so grateful. It's just I hope we can continue it before ultimately it is too late.
Yeah, you're right, and I am seeing the awakening that's taking place. It's sort of like the person. Let's say I remember when I was in college and I had a roommate. My roommate would say, "You know, if you're getting up early, make sure I'm up before you leave, because I'm afraid I might oversleep and I've got a final exam."
Yes.
All right, and you know the story, and anyone that's gone to college knows that story. I mean, we have that problem in our own homes, even growing up. So
that's right.
It might be a parent telling you that, you know.
You know, Don, it really has come down to men and women you can count on. There are so many, and you and I could rattle off a list a mile long, it seems. With the names of people who, on the one hand, have seen seem to be experts, they've seemed to be right on, true blue, and in the end, I'm just so sorry to say that once we were able to weave through that perilous minefield of information, not just information generally, but information specifically that has outlined the truth. And I know it seems, again, I use the word tragic, that you especially, Don, I've heard you many times just say, no, that's not really the way it appears. I can see where you'd think that, where the facts seem to have pointed us in that direction. But you are such an expert, Don, at being able to push away that smokescreen of facts that just are not true and get right down to it, that people can, at the end of the day, many times say, boy, I've thought that for years, I've believed that, I just knew it to be true, and it wasn't. And it's a horrible revelation, because in the end, basically all we've got left is what we believe is the truth. And if it isn't, then we need to know what the real truth is. It lies just below the surface in many of these cases, so that we can make decisions that are going to affect our lives, and we can make the right choices.
Yes. You know, the truth is what it is, and regardless of what we think about it, what our feelings are about the truth, it's always there. And so it becomes an issue of one's experience, one's consciousness, one's awareness, one's education, one's interest level, the mere fact of paying attention and having a certain amount of discipline in your life. And I'm really speaking about the issue of why we're here. A lot of people don't consider that throughout their lives. Some never consider it in their whole life. They have their wants. I want this, I want that, I'm going to get this, I'm focusing all my efforts on that. And so there are a lot of people that are just not paying attention. And
well, and ultimately, Don, what will happen is that they end up on your doorstep or mine, figuratively, if not literally, just going, I don't even know which way to turn anymore. And I'll tell you, one of the attributes, folks, I have to tell you about Don Nikoloff is that he's not a quitter. He doesn't get to the edge of an issue and peck around the edge like a scavenger bird will around a carcass. I mean, we all see it and we know it's there, but we don't know maybe what caused the demise of this creature or how it came about. And Don is the kind to just keep up and keep on. And in the end, he's come at it from so many different directions that he knows just about all that you could possibly know about it in the human sense. But then he steps out also into the area of the spiritual. And I find that not only fascinating, but just absolutely necessary. And it is kind of the coup de grace when it comes to these issues. And Don, I will tell you that every time that you've called me excited or sometimes crestfallen a little bit or whatever it might be, that you said, Greg, you just won't believe where this has gone or what I've discovered. And it's because, you see, there's just a never-ending chain of facts and circumstances, and many of these that continually evolve bring us in a direction we didn't expect. And I think that's been true with some of these exciting revelations that you've come about here most recently. And I am just so excited. I'm hoping, if you haven't, of course, I'm not privy to everything that you've said in the last few days, but we'll bring everybody up to speed on your latest investigation and where that's taking you.
Yes, well, the big issue, I've been trying for a whole week to get this this article out. This is really, in a way, it's a book.
In itself, yeah.
The first article that I wrote, just for those listeners that are tuning in for the first time, I wrote a piece that I published on my website. I received in the mail, I should say email, a copy of an article that was put in a scrapbook by a judge who was required to give Dwight Eisenhower a birth certificate from Texas. Now, he should have had his own birth certificate, you would presume, but he didn't. And the story was one of these, boy, that's not probable that this could happen, that some guy could just start writing letters and take it upon himself to get this certificate for the Eisenhowers? Doesn't work that way. And then the judge made a ruling. I don't know that it was in court necessarily, but it required a judge to issue this birth certificate to have him be legal. This was to have occurred in Denison, Texas. In 1952, sometime during the election, and I would presume it was probably, in fact, I've written about this in the new article, probably between August and late October, anywhere in that time frame, someone had probably discovered that Eisenhower wasn't from the United States. Why else would this controversy have come up? So I wrote this article called Eisenhower 1952 Birth Certificate Fraud Revealed. And it's getting close to 22,000 hits on my website, and it's on many other websites now. It's all over the internet. And the article got passed down kind of accidentally. Not my article, but the article that I wrote about and this issue. In fact, in my estimation, the article that had been published in this undisclosed newspaper in Denison, Texas, was in a scrapbook that the judge passed down to his grandson. When his grandson passed away, the widow got the article, and that was forwarded to me, knowing that I could probably look into it and see if there was any validity to the story. My goodness, what I found. What I found. I would say not only was Dwight D. Eisenhower, or David Dwight Eisenhower, whatever name you want to give him, you could call him Pee Wee Herman as far as I'm concerned, was not born in the United States. Not in Denison, Texas. Now, let's say he was born in the United States. Then my next question is, why did he tell the U.S. Customs at Ellis Island on September 27th, 1924, that he was born in Tyler, Texas? Why wouldn't he say Denison, Texas? It would have probably stopped me from investigating the whole thing. Even though I did have somewhat of a feeling that something was not quite right. So, I began working with the two or three little clues that I had, and I found out that the person who orchestrated this, let's get Eisenhower a birth certificate, a man named Lonnie Roberts in Texas, was ex-Army. So I knew that he had been sent to at least put this information out in the media. We don't know that even a birth certificate was issued, but I would tip my hat, if I was wearing one, to this Judge Dixon in Texas, who took it upon himself to put this in a scrapbook. It was a patriotic act, and I suppose he was assuming at some point in the future somebody would discover this and get to the bottom of it. I don't think Eisenhower went to West Point. I can tell you definitively that the photographs alleging a marriage in Denver are not true. I called the church where this pastor supposedly pastored, Pastor Williamson. He did not pastor at that church in Denver. Now, he did pastor a church by the same name in Petersburg, Illinois, but not in 1916 when Eisenhower said he got married. This pastor was a minister at the Central Presbyterian Church in Petersburg, Illinois, in 1894 through 1895, 21 years earlier. Very unlikely that he who was said to be the pastor at that church in Denver, would have performed the marriage. It's impossible. The photographs of Eisenhower are not photographs of a man wearing a U.S. Army uniform. He's wearing an Austrian Army uniform. And it's evident by the design of the uniform and specifically the pockets. The pocket flaps, I should say. Mm-hmm. The boots, the hat, pretty much everything in the whole thing. There's one photograph where they claimed that Eisenhower had coached football at St. Louis University, or St. Louis College, it was called. Now it's St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas. While he's on his first assignment for the U.S. Army, they said that he was coaching football at this college. No, he was not coaching, and I can prove it just by the photographs that they released, because they're as bogus as the long-legged Mac Daddies are in Washington, D.C. Okay? Now, in one particular photograph where they photoshopped his image into, and that's a general term, you know, it's like Kleenex. It might not be the Kleenex brand, but everybody knows what Kleenex is.
That's right.
They photoshop, or they use trickery to insert his image into a picture in front of a staircase. And I was able to identify that staircase, which is a sandstone staircase in front of two doors. Do you know how hard that is, Greg? How many staircases are there in the world?
Oh, I can't imagine, Don.
I found the staircase. Now, by measuring the staircase, and it's standard eight-inch block, sandstone block, and there are 11 and a half steps, and I calculated that Eisenhower was standing on the 10th from the top, or the second from the bottom, and he would be about 92 inches tall in this photograph. To make a long story short, the proportion of his body to the height of the stairway would have made him 8'3" tall. And Mamie Eisenhower, who's posing with him in the photograph, would have been 7'3" tall. Now, they look like giants. When you grasp the fact that they've put their images in there and the person didn't pay attention to making sure the proportions match. That you see someone standing in front of a stairway, but if you use your mind, your brains, just for a moment, you say, wait a minute, this can't be. His head, with him standing at the bottom of the stairway, his head is halfway up the middle of the door at the top of the steps.
Sure.
Okay? Impossible.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is I could compare the actual photograph that he submitted, which has been severely doctored, to a 1909 photograph. This photograph I was talking about, by the way, is said to have occurred at the same time the wedding occurred. So he was in Denver and San Antonio, Texas, the same time, the same day, in 1916. Impossible.
Right.
Absolutely impossible. Well, it's obvious that he was photoshopped there, and the photo that they represent as being taken in Denver at the wedding is a shot that had to have been taken someplace in Austria. In fact, I determined where he's from in Austria, and I determined who he's related to, and I have to tell you that Teddy Roosevelt is involved in this scam, or was involved in this scam, too. Roosevelt was the Assistant Secretary of the Department of the Navy, and he also owned the United States Lines, which was a shipping company, the one that secreted the McCann family into the Navy. If you remember my piece, The Three Stooges Go to Washington.
That's right.
Parts 1 and 2 dealt with that. So Roosevelt rubbed shoulders and probably noses with a few of the royalty, and I was able to determine who this was, and it led me to a whole nest of spies that were brought into this country. Now, I'm not going to give all the details, because we have you on the show, so you can talk, but...
This is fascinating, and really, it goes well, and it all boils down to a term that I've not used much in my lifetime. Partly because I'm not very well versed with it, but the other part is that it was just kind of out there in the periphery. But I guess what it comes down to, and another gentleman I was speaking to recently said it, and I'm copying his word here. It's not anything all that unusual, but he said it all basically comes down to bloodlines.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think you've mentioned that in the past, and it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. These people cannot stand to have anyone that's got a drop of blood that hasn't been through their own body.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can put it.
Sure.
And
where that reaches, Don, is almost incredible. The vortex of people that swirl around these just incredible chains of events really basically comes down to just a handful of people who are traceable through this whole mess back to the same source, which has been an incredible eye-opening experience for me, saying, well, it all comes down to just a handful that are really responsible for the events that we're seeing unfolding at this moment.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Now, when I first came out with this information, there were some folks, some listeners to a few radio shows that were very disinterested in hearing anything about this. You know, they wanted to hear something that had to do with what's going on today. And my response was, it has everything to do with what's going on
That's
today.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely has everything to do with what's going on. I can't emphasize that enough. It's underscored, capital letters, block letters, shadowed, and exclamation points after it.
Yeah. It's there. Can't run from it.
Yeah, you can tell I'm in a programming mode, too.
Well, that's exactly right. And I guess, Don, as we always say, at the end of the day or the end of the page, where it leaves us is in the middle of a swirling vortex, almost a tornado effect of here it comes. The shape is clearly outlined. We see it doing its damage and destruction along the way. And as it is approaching our position, we're finding that there's nowhere to shelter, no place to get underground. We just have to stand and hang on. And when everything becomes clear enough, we can clearly see that the source of this is a conspiracy of mind-boggling proportions that is being played out. It doesn't matter the expense. It doesn't matter the location. It doesn't make any difference how much damage is done to people in a nation or nations, in fact, the entire world. But it is spiraling toward an ultimate conclusion that, unless met with revelation like you're trying to put before the people on a constant basis, we're left with just nothing other than, okay, this must be the way it is. And as a result, Don Nikoloff is busy all the time, and guess what? Things change, don't they, Don? Fluid, is that a good word for all this?
Yeah, or liquid. Not liquidity, yeah. But liquid, yeah.
Yeah, I've got the mind picture.
Yes. I just have to tell you, though, that we're witnessing in Congress today exactly what this is about. What you're seeing the Congress and the Senate do to this country in their complicity with creating a fascist, socialist, communist state, and it's different from the other ones in that they've got computers now. Where when they did the old ones, it was all everything was just arms. Okay, they've got all kinds of high technology now. Mind control technology, of course, is one of the big things that they're using. The people are being assaulted on all fronts by poisons and toxins in their food. Drug companies are set up to cash in on the demise of people, and the government's going along with it like nothing's wrong. Like this is something that we really need.
The result, Don, again, and I guess we're drawing some conclusions tonight, but you have to be blind and not able to hear or speak, and just you are absolutely committed to denying and avoiding reality and the truth, ultimate truth. If you cannot see that what has occurred in the last several years, let alone the last several months or weeks, is something so outrageous in its complicity and seriousness, that how else can you explain Barney Frank and people associated with this sad human being that has put a bill in front of the Congress that is so sweeping, so deep, so destructive, that it defies a short answer, and a long answer is the more you hear, the less you want to believe it. But the result is the same nonetheless, and that is that our country is at the very precipice of disaster. There is no question about that. That's not hyperbole, ladies and gentlemen. That is just simply a very short review of the facts as we know them to be that are coming out of Washington. And if you think, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that this is okay, that this is just common, and this is acceptable, and, well, we got to give a little to get a little, and we have to go along because we really don't have a choice. If that's the case, then I don't count you as one of my countrymen. I'm sorry. I cannot, because you are part of the problem as well. And I say that as lovingly as possible and yet as directly as possible, because you must snap out of your slumber. The men and women who are in the military of this country that when we're on shows together, Don, with Drew Raines, we know that Don has the love of the Marine Corps in his heart. He always will. He counts them among the people who really have the right to be able to say more than many others, I have served my country, I have done my best, and even those folks are just standing there in shock because of what they're seeing within this nation. And so we must all together just shake each other by the shoulders and say, wake up. You need some serious counseling here if you can't see where this is going. And tonight, when we put our heads on the pillows, it's going to be logistically and realistically much worse than it was 24 hours ago. And unless we get a grasp right now, Don, I fear, truly, I fear, I tremble, I'm serious. I get emotional, I get so upset by what I see happening to men and women and children, innocent children who are being drawn into this, as I said earlier, this tornado, this vortex that is swallowing everything in sight. And where do we go? What do we do? All we can do is have our feet firmly planted on the ground spiritually with the good Lord himself, and that we have the facts before us so that when Don Nikoloff's on the radio and Drew Raines is on the radio and the rest of us are out here trying to do our best, that people are listening. We don't ask, Don, none of us have ever asked to be some kind of lighthouse here that must have the last word, or I just have to be right when I speak. I so wish, Don, that my conclusions were wrong. And I still hold out, and I told a radio show the other night, I said, I hope to God in another 6 months or a year, I can say, you know what, folks, I was absolutely wrong. I'm sorry, I did my best, but I was wrong, and I'm so glad I was. However, I don't think at the end of that 6 months to a year, there's going to be any doubt. It will be so clear that we've been destroyed.
Yes. Well, you know, and unfortunately, I have to agree with you. Yet, there is a possibility. There's always the potential for something else to happen. And I'm not talking about someone coming out of the clouds or from the sky to help us, but that we can create a new reality ourselves. We've always had that potential. Have we always exercised that? Well, certainly not. We haven't. But I still hold a bit of hope Maybe it's something other than hope. Maybe hope is just a word that we use. Because we were promised hope in this last election. Now, I wasn't. I wasn't taking the bait. I can say that. But a lot of people did. And some of those people have awakened to the fact that they've been had, that we've all been had. And so, you know, people are beginning to look and search a little bit, but many are way behind the eight ball. They haven't been in this arena for any length of time, and they're green in that sense. And they turn to us for the answers after we tell them what's going on. I'm sure you see that a lot yourself.
Oh, I do. And people, Don, are clamoring now. Many who as you say, just didn't see it, weren't aware for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. But they didn't have the information. I call those folks ignorant. I'm not trying to be insulting in any way. They simply ignorant just means you do not have the facts. And so they were devoid of the facts. But when you have the facts and they're presented to you logically and clearly and distinctly and very rationally and right down the line, and they say, no, I'm not going there. I'm sorry. I choose not to believe you. Then the other word that covers this is stupid. Please don't be stupid. Please take the facts as they come along, and I don't mean to insult you folks. I'm not here to do that tonight. But I want you to be awake. I want you to be fully cognizant of what is happening, because the time that we have left to truly make a difference here is so short that in the great scheme of history, it will be measured as just a slight fraction of a second, that all of this came together over the last several generations to where we are at this moment. And rather than be lost in philosophy tonight and lost in all the theoretics of what's happening, I want you more than anything, folks, to come to some conclusions that you have based partly on your experience, partly on what you've heard, but mostly on what you feel deep down inside where you live, that you are personally just you. And when you open that door, you realize that there's going to be something that can help you outside that door, or there's going to be something that can potentially hurt you. And the only way you're going to know that when you bring that door open and you turn that knob in your hand and you pull it toward you is to be prepared through shows like this and information you can get. And certainly we've tried to provide people with tools down at our website as well. We're all trying to do this. Why? I've had people criticize me, say, well, you've got these preparation DVDs, and I said, yes. I said, unfortunately, there are some of the few that are out there. I don't know of any others. There could well be some, but I don't know. But they said, well, you're making efforts to because we do charge for them. You're making money off a bad situation. And I said, look, we went to the difficulty and the trouble to put this together. It cost a great deal of money, and we have to try and get a little of that back. But I didn't create this situation, Don, any more than you did. You don't go out and pick your targets for investigation that you do so ably because you have some kind of vendetta against someone. This has come to you on a platter, and so rather than ignore it at the peril of not only your own situation but those that you do so well, so many hundreds of thousands, millions of people that rely on you and Drew and others of us out here for the information, you are doing a service to this nation that may never be recognized. None of us do it for that reason, but will never fully be realized until the great look of history is taken, wherever that ultimately leads us. And thank God for men like you. But, ladies and gentlemen, you have the tools. They're in front of you. You just simply need to pick them up and use them and get yourself ready for what is coming. And that way you'll be light years ahead of those who just said, no, I'm not going there. I'll let the government take care of it. Well, let me tell you, if you place your hands in this government, you will be taken care of, but it won't be in the manner in which you want it or you're maybe accustomed.
Oh, that's so true. that's, I mean, what we hear about what's going on through the mainstream, which is really ridiculous, it's nowhere near reality. And what is actually going on are night and day. And I know that you spend a lot of time, for those listeners out there that aren't aware, you get updates, you get intelligence reports from people that you know from the many days and years that you have been in law enforcement and taken an interest in what's going on, not just here, but in the rest of the world. You yourself are an accomplished researcher and writer, and you've researched many of the same things that I have.
We've come to the same conclusions in many cases, Don, except you're so thorough, and the time that you invest is incredible. I mean, if you had been paid just adequately paid, not the kind of money that big researchers see and big institutions, but if you'd just been nominally paid, I'm telling you, would be independently wealthy.
I'd have more money than George H.W. Bush has stolen.
Boy, isn't that the sad truth. But in fact, that is the case. And so out of this, folks, comes a determination, a steely determination, one of steel, that when you overturn the rock or the log and you see what's crawling underneath there, and you're repulsed by some of it because it is so foreign to what we normally see in our own comfort zone, and then that leads to another rock, and it's worse under that or that log, and finally you get to a point where you can hardly bear to go on. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm speaking just for myself here, I don't know about Don, but I will tell you that there have been times that I've spoken to people within the military and law enforcement who have turned those rocks over as we've been speaking. And I have been either so shocked or so dismayed at what has been said in regard to how people will be treated by law enforcement and the military. Not all, certainly. We have a lot of good folks in the military and law enforcement who are sure of their oath, and they have determined to do the right thing, and they're where they are because first of all, in my view, God has put them there, but then also that they will be available, able, and willing to help instead of hinder, and come to the rescue like we've, you know, grown up hoping our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and Coast Guardsmen and law enforcement at all levels would be for us in our moment of need. There's nothing greater, Don, than to see the big deuce and a half roll up after a tornado or a hurricane or whatever it might be, and know that good young men and women are there to help us. We're frayed and dirty and hungry and thirsty and sick and injured, and they're there for that. And I tell you, it's a comforting feeling that you can only experience if you've been there. But by the same token, if that wonderful force of men and women is used to apprehend or to incarcerate, or to even, I'm afraid to say, in some cases, maybe worse than that, deal with their fellow Americans because they have been ordered, criminally ordered, to do that which all of history has come down to the moment when, as many line officers have told me, the greatest threat to the Illuminati and the world conspiracy at this point is, will the American soldier, will the American police officer side with the American people and freedom and the Constitution and their oaths of office to defend us from all enemies, foreign or domestic? Will they stand with us shoulder to shoulder, or will they stand with an evil so great, Don, it almost defies description? In my view, it's the ultimate battle of good and evil, of God against Satan. And because of that, we are all in that battle, and we're all going to have to come down on the side of right, of righteousness, of correctness, and do it in a way that will defeat this tidal wave of evil that is coming at us from all sources, and most notably from within our own, I just hate to say it, within our own government. And the facts are clear. It is socialism / communism ran amok. It is corrupted. Some of these men at the very last moment and women were corrupted by money and promises of money that is clearly illegal, clearly unconstitutional. You add to that the summary of the guts, the working order of this massive bill, and you say, how in God's great name have we come to this? Well, partly because we've tried in the last few years, not you and I and not many listening, but we've tried to boot God out of everything that we are part of. And, you know, I think in the end, ultimately, my heart tells me that God has just said, if that's the way you want it, then go ahead and have it. But I'm going to guarantee you at the end of today, you're not going to like the choice you've made. And so we're living with that, Don, and all we can do, in my view, is continue to train people like I'm doing on a daily basis, going out here telling people exactly what's happening and trying to get them physically trained to withstand this onslaught of evil and to teach them to go on the radio, to write like we're doing and you are doing all the time. It's all we can do, Don, but we've got to continue. We can't quit because, really, the nation hangs in the balance.
Oh, yes. Now, you covered so many things, and there were
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. There were about 20 times I wanted to jump in and ask a question.
Oh, please do, Don. I this is your show. I'm sorry.
In regard to the police officers and the military out there who are really concerned about what they're being told to do, I hear this argument over and over. Well, I'm going to retire in 2 years or in 3 years, and I don't want to lose my pension. Do you really feel that those people even know what they're saying when they make such a statement?
No, Don. Ultimately, I think, and I'll use their word, it's desperation. They've said, look, I am so frustrated and so despondent, but I'm desperate to do the right thing, and yet, look, I've put 27 years in, and I've just got 3 years or whatever it happens to be, and I just can't. It doesn't make sense to me that I would jeopardize my life, my family's life, our security, our financial security, and that's where I usually interrupt them and say, and exactly what is your financial security? And you know, there's a pause on the other end, and they begin with the old, well, I'm part of the state's retirement. I said, you are part of a failed economic policy that may leave you and me, and I've worked a good number of years, Don, to and I'm wrapping up as well. I'm going to be 60 here in just a little bit, and I will tell you. I'm looking at a retirement. I don't know how long I'll have it, if I have it. I don't know if Social Security will truly be there or not. I don't know if a healthcare system that I have paid for and that has been a part of my family's it's just all part of our living standard will be there. And I understand that other people don't have that kind of security, if you will, but what in the world are we to do? And I said, well, and I asked the question to him rhetorically, and then I said, here's what you must do. You must do what's right. Because in the end, the other things will or will not be there, depending on how history treats us as a result of our actions or our inactions. But you must do the right thing. And that means if you can stay on and you can be a stealth help to us just off the radar and be there when it's needed the most, then I say more power to you. But if you're going to look just at protecting your own skin at the expense of everybody else, then let me say one more time, let history show that you are not my countrymen. Sacrifices have been made, ladies and gentlemen, generation after generation. You know them. We celebrate them in May, and we celebrate them again in November. And it all has to do with men and women who have, down through centuries, been willing to go when called, to stand when flight would have been better for them. And as a result, some of them didn't come home. And in fact, many, hundreds of thousands of our sailors and airmen and Marines and Army men and women did not come home. Police officers are killed at the rate of about 150 a year across the country. You say, well, 150 isn't all that many. Well, you tell that to the families of widows and orphans. But the fact is that at the end of the day, we must all be pulling together and for each other. And I think, Don, if we'll do that, if the American people will continue to show that they know what's right, they know what they should do, and they know how to do it, then the men and women in uniform and of whatever branch or civilian police will also say, look, these people are right. I don't care what my chief of police or my sheriff or my state police commander is telling me or my FBI special agent in charge is telling me. This is right. I know it's right. I can see that it's right. And I'm going to do what's right. Don, if that happens, then I'm going to tell you I believe there is hope for this republic. We may come out a new country. We may come out a severely changed country. But I believe we can come out a far better country. And we can get past this nonsense. And the efforts of tens of thousands of radio talk show hosts and writers and good people in pulpits and in businesses and school boards and county commissions and city councils and the people that have sat there and endured the hardship and the harassment of the officials who are sold out, they will have something at the end of the day to stand and shout for and weep for and thank God for. And that's where we are. I've not given up. It's grim. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be the most difficult thing we've ever done as a nation. But if we don't do it, then indeed all is lost.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, you know, if you just follow the logic of some of these people, and, of course, I'm not judging them. I'm just making an observation here. You follow the logic of someone that says, well, you know, I've put all these years into my work. I've been on this planet for 58 years, over 58 years, and I've dedicated my life currently to this aspect of the work. Do I have 50 years as a policeman or someone in the military? No, but I put in my 58 years on this planet. And I've done more good than I have evil or harm to those that I've come across throughout my life. And I should have something to show for that, should I not? You see, when we leave here, we're back to square one. It's an even chalkboard, if you get my meaning.
Well, Don, I've said this many times, and I'm glad you brought that, you kind of touched on it, and I want to say this very, very clearly. I've had I won't say unique, certainly, but to me, a very unusual course or trail that life has taken me down, and I thank God for that. But I must tell you, folks, you don't have to have served in uniform. I don't care if you're a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout or a Girl Scout. It doesn't even require that. There's no requirement for people to have been in the military or law enforcement to have served and continue to serve their country, their nation, their republic. There's absolutely none. It gives you a different perspective, Don. Clearly, a different perspective. But the people that get up every morning, that we're not on that course that I've been down and that Drew Raines has been down and many others, does not disqualify you somehow for being responsible for the fate of this nation and for the ultimate outcome of the things that we're talking about tonight. In fact, I think the people, Don, that have been, as we may say, civilians, that's an honorable term. To be a citizen is an honorable position. Citizen soldiers, citizen police officers, we're all the same. For a moment or two in history, we're granted some authority, a badge or a uniform and a weapon and a mission to accomplish that which the nation has called us to accomplish. But we are all citizens of the United States of America. And that republic of which we take this Pledge of Allegiance to is here. The Constitution is real. It is the single thing that binds us together and protects us from the kind of tyranny that we're seeing just now. But sometimes when the wind blows and that great piece of parchment, in many ways, that's made of the strongest material known to man, and that's the spirit of the people, is something that cannot be destroyed. You can burn it up, you could blow up the building in which it's housed, and it with it, but there would still be a constitution. There would still be law. There would still be the need for men to follow law and not to follow corrupted men. And you see, some of us have lost our way with that. We fail, or we just our comfort zone won't allow us to go there and realize that this is far more than a piece of paper. Look, men and women who died at Iwo Jima, and men and women who gave it all at Bastogne, and somewhere in the north or the south, or wherever it might have been, they weren't looking at a booklet that had the Constitution in it. They weren't thinking about the trip they made to Washington to see this famous parchment. No, in many cases, the flag was gone. The flag had been destroyed in battle. But they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't say, well, somehow now it's not real, and I no longer have that responsibility because I can't see the Declaration of Independence, and I can't see the faces of our founders, and I can't see the post office back home that represents something good and wholesome. I can't see my home and my family. You see, all they had was the commitment in their hearts and souls to do what needed to be done at that very moment to keep all of this going. And it doesn't matter, ultimately, Don, what I discover, or in fact, even what you discover, and as much as all that is good and necessary, it doesn't matter in the end. What matters is that we stood together. We stood in the gap. We fought an evil. We defeated it, and we were able to say, freedom is not free. Once in a while, we have to put our lives at risk to keep it what it is. And if you can grasp that, folks, tonight you will go away with the ability to be a citizen, a true citizen of this nation, instead of I'm just John Doe and I fill out my tax form each year. And again, you don't have to be that soldier in uniform. You just need to be a soldier at heart that is willing to stand up for what is right and do it when your country needs you the most. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's right now.
Well said. I hope you understood the meaning of what I was saying when I said I put in my time. This gift of life that we've been given by God to be on this planet should be under God's laws, should it not?
Yeah.
How is it that a God has been pushed aside? And I'm not attacking police officers or people in the military. That's not at all what I'm saying. But somehow it's presumed by these psychopaths that are running world governments that they can turn to those people and just demand that they exterminate people, just to aim their guns and shoot because they're told to do it. We need and they're going to do it because of their pension. Come on, let's get real here. Let's wake up and think about what you're saying. You're going to enjoy your pension after murdering who knows how many people on behalf of the government?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the insanity of the whole thing.
Well, and that's precisely what it is, Don. You called it exactly right, and I didn't mean to somehow try and dislodge your point there. It is clear that the people out there that you've talked to, that I've talked to, that I listen to, and that I try and reason with are caught up in the same thing that a worker at GM was caught up it's my pension, and can I make this, and what can the union do for me? In the end, it really is not about that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if you're police officers or military men and women or just a citizen. Don's point is well taken, and we must understand that we are not living for the moment. If you are, then you're making a horrible mistake, and you're not my countrymen. Please rise above that and put that nonsense behind you. Nonsense in the meaning that in the end, you may not have it anyway. If this economy collapses, and it certainly is on that road, Bob Chapman, who I admire quite a bit, Don, has been very clear about that. And I think his realization of what's out there economically, politically, and monetarily for us is a masterpiece. That's not my area of expertise. I can only parrot what he says. But I will tell you that if he's even 10% right, we're in a world of hurt. And we've just got to get beyond this, what I can grasp, what I can grab, and what I can take, and what I can use, and what I can have over someone else. No. And your point is well taken. Get past that. Let's get on the road to republic building and recovery.
Oh, yes. Yes. And that's what I was referring to.
Yes, sir.
When I said that we can create a new reality. We were made to be creative beings, not to sit on our rear ends, like Drew Rain says, with our seven-course meal.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
The hot dog and the six-pack.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think, Don, that the people really, and I mean this, and just most recently within the last week, I received one call on my way home from work, and I will tell you, it so rattled me. I didn't know quite how to respond. But this man again happened to be a colonel, and he said to me, a Marine Corps colonel, and Drew would appreciate this, now retired, who is living in Colorado, and listens often to our broadcasts. And I just give a big shout out to you, sir. He said, look. What it comes down to is this. The military men and women, and any other branch of any civilian authority is really looking to see how we are responding to this. And
yes.
He said, I believe that in the end, whether or not the military or the civilian police come over to our side, if you will, if and when push comes to shove in this country, and there is open rebellion, there is open civil war because of what has been thrown upon us. I can't believe I'm saying civil war and rebellion in the United States, but that's really, at this point, it's almost our duty. I don't want to be one that somebody points a finger and says, you called for it. No, I'm not. But I'm facing reality and saying, if it does occur, then where will they stand? And he is saying, I believe in the end, as the American people assess this, and as they say no, millions upon millions upon millions of Americans who stand shoulder to shoulder and say no more. He said, I believe that will in fact be the turning point for some sitting on the fence, and they will indeed line up with us and say, no, this is not, we're not going to fire on our own people. Don, if the Russian military, at the last moment when Yeltsin was in what they called the White House in Moscow, mm-hmm. and it was burning, and they were surrounded. If they are willing to put down their weapons and say, we will not fire on our own people, then, dear Lord God, can we not here in the United States follow the Russian lead and say within our own military, no, we're not going to take this country down. We're going to help rebuild it.
Well, yeah, that's what's got to take place. It baffles me that anyone needs to second guess that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really,
I agree. But it's even a debate. No place for it.
Yes. Well, in terms of what solutions you can offer to people, because We don't just tackle the issues on
sure.
on the level of fear, and so, of course, we're not trying to fear-monger. Certainly anyone that has followed these things and has heard you or your appearances with Steve Quayle, for example, a lot of people are wondering, what can I do? What should I do? You know, we give them the information as to what's going on, and then they want us to provide the answers, the solutions.
Right. Well, Don, it's a path that has been basically laid out for people. It's not my good friend Steve Quayle, and it's not others. It's not even Don. At the end of the day, it's not even you and me or Drew. It's the people out here who choose to say, once and for all, I'm going to do this. And I'm not doing it to prove a point. I'm not doing it just because I listen to the radio or read your stuff. It's because I know that within my soul it's right to do. And it's absolutely imperative that we not just always give people the bad news, because it's there's tons of that. But we've got to be able to offer them something that goes beyond the mundane. It's one thing to go to the store and take advantage of the sales on vegetables and canned fruit and canned meat and whatever you might have put back for that ultimate rainy day, or whatever it might be that you have felt is absolutely necessary to have in your toolbox, whether it's natural medicines or defensive tools to protect yourself from roving gangs or to be able to hunt and provide. Whatever it is, those are all absolutely essential. In my view of the world and the world that's emerging, for you to be able to make it independently, not to rely on a government that may or may not, in the worst case scenario, be by to drop off a case of MREs for your neighborhood or some bottled clear water when the utilities are off, if the ultimate worst case scenario should happen, or if there would be a major natural disaster of some kind. It doesn't matter, folks. What you need to have, as I tell folks across the country, you need to have a plan. And so I'm going to give you the thumbnail here in just a moment or so, and then I have a single comment I need to make here when it's over. But that is that you follow a plan of action that you know will work, or that has the ultimate possibility of working for you, when there isn't one that's being offered by Washington or your state capital or wherever it might be. You are ultimately responsible for your survival, just like you are ultimately accountable to God Himself for your life and how you conducted your life. So don't rely on someone else. Don't wait for someone else. Don't point your finger and say, do something for me. Don Nikoloff and the rest of us do our best every day to provide you with the tools. Don has done it masterfully with his efforts to lay before you the information that will kickstart some of you off just believing that the government is the only way to go and Barack Obama is my hero and George Bush was my hero. Whatever it is, folks, you're picking the wrong heroes. You need heroes like Don Nikoloff and Drew Raines and others who are out here who are doing the hard work, doing the absolutely necessary work. And if you will listen and follow and challenge with your spirit and just say, I believe that, I just feel that that's right, then you're on that right path. And when you see other tools that are available to you at these various websites, I can't think of anything better. It's far better than going to a football game. It's far better than going out to the bar on Friday night, spend $20, $30, $40, $50, $100, and get what you need rather than what you think you want to satisfy you for just a brief amount of time. And if you will do that, and if you will actually listen to those tools that are available to you, and you'll take advantage of them, and you'll listen to the radio broadcasts of Drew and Don and others, you will come out, folks, at the end of the day with what you need. And it may not be what you thought you needed, but ultimately it will. And if you will act upon it, then you will have all that you need to get through this. And I think we've hammered that pretty well tonight, Don. People out there that are in the choir, keep singing the tune. Those of you that have come to see what the choir is all about, take a songbook and join us and get where you need to be.
Well said. No.
Well, you know, Don, I was just going to add to that, and I didn't mean to interrupt you again so quickly. I'm so good at that.
Go ahead.
You know, my frail mind here probably forget what it was. But I have to tell you that, folks, I'm going to be with Don just a few more minutes, and then, Don, I've been fighting a horrible deal all week this week, and I'm just not feeling very good. So I'm going to retire from you here shortly. But I didn't know. Do you take any calls at all?
I do when we get them.
Okay.
When they're not calling in, it's usually because they're spellbound by the show. This is what the folks tell me.
Oh, I understand perfectly. It was that way with mine as well. And if that's the case, God bless you each one. And don't hesitate to contact me personally. I just wanted to add this too, Don, that at the website, the Heartland USA, you mentioned it earlier in the program, www.theheartlandusa.com. Contact us there. There's lots and lots of information there. There are links to various survival stores and all kinds of things that will help you on this journey. If you're just getting started, it's way, way late in the game, but it's not beyond salvaging yet. And so go to that site and go to many others that are available as well that Don, I know, is familiar with. We have some things there for you that we'd like to send out to you if you want it. But if not, please just get yourselves organized and get ready for what's happening. And I'm going to take my own good advice here in just a couple of minutes. And if there's somebody who'd like to call in and ask a question or two, be glad to take it right now. And, I sound like a show host when I was at RBN. I got to stop that, Don. This is your show. I got to just keep quiet. My wife's looking at me with
Well, they know they can call in. They always know that.
Sure. Okay.
Again, I repeat, if they're not calling in, it's not because they're not enjoying the show or finding it interesting.
Sure.
More often than not, they like to stay out of the way.
Well, I don't blame them. What's the platter got for you, Don, in the next little bit? Where are all the events going to take you? And I'm asking you because I'm just always so interested in you and what you do. What's on the near horizon for you?
Well, the immediate horizon is getting this article published. By the way, it's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhowers.
Oh, man.
Parts 1 and 2.
Wow. You come up with some great titles.
I came up with the title before I even did the research.
Oh, my.
It was in a conversation with Ken Adachi that it came up. And I said, I've got to use that for a title. That's how it happens.
Well, I tell you, you know, when I was thinking of that, I was thinking of one of the last press conferences I ever saw with Dwight Eisenhower. And, you know, he'd aged, of course, and all that. But he kind of looked like a little bit of a turtle out of a shell. So, you know, that's awful to say. Forgive me for that. But that's what I thought of when you said that.
the truth hurts.
Yeah, well, I guess. Well, there's got to be something standing right behind that title, just like the Three Stooges Go to Washington. What a great series. I hope you never end that. Just keep adding to it. But
well, Eisenhower actually interrupted my writing of the Hilary character. That's the third one.
Mm-hmm.
We had McCurley and then Mobama, and the next one is Hilary. So,
oh boy, I tell you, that's great.
So that's coming, that's on the way. But I've got to get this thing posted. It's a programming nightmare because of all the graphics. It's very graphic intense, a lot of photographs and analysis of the photos and some solid documentation too. Believe it or not, the documents are out there when one can find the needle in the haystack. And again, I was lucky and able to do that, much to the chagrin of those that thought they had it hidden. It's amazing what's out there if you look for it. And it's about the truth, really. All this means, Greg, is that the truth is coming out.
Yes.
And as you well know, because you're involved in ferreting out the truth, you're not interested in fear-mongering. I can let the listeners know that from what I know of your work and your sources. And yes, we may not always agree, but here we are together on my show tonight. There must be a reason why that occurred.
Oh, well, Don, like I said, of the less than 1% that you and I may not agree about, it's just simply because, you know, we're two different individuals. But we're right on the same highway. We're traveling in the same vehicle, and we're going in the same destination or toward the same destination. And it's comforting to know, for me, you know, even though I say this to people all the time, both in front of them live and also in emails that I share with people, and I try and do that as much as I can. But the fact is that we are in this together, and I'm not standing alone. I've got good men like, as I mentioned several times tonight, Drew Raines and Don Nikoloff and others who are absolutely on the same exact road. And as I looked over into the back seat, I saw them back there. It's not just me. It's not just Don. We're in this together, and we want you to be with us. And we'll just keep expanding that vehicle till we all fit in it. But we need to be going down that same road with the same information, the same destination, the same way of getting there. And in the end, when we arrive, we do so safely and with a purpose, and we get out together and we pick up the hammers and saws and the nails and the wood, and we begin rebuilding our great nation. And when I talk about rebuilding and republic building, what I mean very simply is that it's up to us. You see, citizens built this country. It wasn't people from across, you know, the sea, natives of other countries. It was Americans who built this nation. And even the founders, who were flawed and had their moments, and it was not always the best, because they were fallible, and so. But we're continually, and have been, for much of our country's history, we've been trying to make citizens have been trying to make this a better country, and but the people in power who took more and more power that they did not have, do not possess, and don't possess at this moment. They appear to possess it because they happen to be a congressman or woman or someone in the government. But we, as it's always said, we, the people, the citizens, are the ones who are in charge. I don't care what unconstitutional laws have been put into effect, and I don't care what admiralty courts or maritime courts and corrupted judges and people sold out in the courtrooms have done, and they've failed to let our juries have sway, and they've told juries what they'll do and what they won't do. Judges are absolutely wrong, need to be impeached, need to be put in prison for that. And the people in government who have just turned a deaf ear and said, no, we're not going to listen to you anymore. You see, you are citizens, and yeah, we read someplace where you're in charge. But you see, you don't need to know that. And you don't need to practice that. We're going to take care of you. Well, they're taking care of us, all right, and it may be to the ultimate and final detriment to our nation, but we, the people, who are still in charge, and we must stand together in that bus or that truck or whatever we're going down the road in, and when we get to the destination, ladies and gentlemen, we get off the bus, we use our talents, we give our common assent to be one in rebuilding, and with that promise, and if we will claim it, especially now, I'm telling you, Don, there's great hope, but it's going to take that. It's not going to be easy, but it will take that, and if we do it, there is light at the end of this tunnel, no matter how dark it is right now. And I appreciate you and thank you beyond words for what I know you labor at every single day. Folks, it doesn't matter when I call Don Nikoloff. I've got his private number. I call him, and that guy's working. I don't care day or night. It's unbelievable. I don't know if you ever sleep, Don.
The past 3 weeks, very little.
I'll bet it has been. Well, folks, you can count on this man and others, like we've said, to bring you the truth. Don, it's been a privilege. I just must go, Don. I'm sorry. I know I'm a little bit short on time here. I apologize greatly for that.
That's fine. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I want you to give my best to Liz as well as your whole family. I wish you a very Merry Christmas and all the peace and love and happiness that can come with the Lord's blessing on that special day.
Well, thank you, Donna, and thanks to your good listeners. Thanks for putting up with me tonight, folks. I'm just not at the top of my game. I'm sorry. And Liz is blowing you a little kiss, Don. You know what that means. Breakfast in Ohio one of these days. Thanks
All
so
right.
much. God bless you, man.
All right, you too.
Take
thank
care.
You, Ray. Take care. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I understand that we had a problem with some of the streams. So those of you who didn't get to hear the show know that the archive will be posted. Now, I've got a note here that I've got a caller, which I was unaware of, and I hope you weren't hoping to speak with Greg Evenson. Jason, are you still on the line? Nope, he's gone. Okay, I guess that's it. Well, we've come to the end of another show, and I'm happy to have had Greg Evenson on, and I want to let everybody know that he'll probably be with us again in January. We haven't settled on a date, but we have discussed the possibility, and I've got great shows lined up for the rest of the month. We're going to be tackling a lot of the heavy topics that you've heard tonight. Tomorrow night, my special guest is Ken Adachi. You want to be sure to tune in. Also, Drew Raines on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, depending on what part of the planet you're on. And we're up in the air about Jim Murray this Friday, but he is on the schedule, and God willing, he will be on the show. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I want to thank everyone who is listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network, all those in the U.S. military. Be safe. I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and hopefully you get a decent meal over the holiday season here, one or two at least. Special thanks to those on Blog Talk Radio at BBS, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night for another show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.